Hello, I'm Nevin Maguire, and you're listening to the Breathly Early Show. Enjoy.
Breathly, you come all the way from Ireland for this adventure.
Isn't Breathly Early a real tonic, full of positivity?
It's an amazing story, Breathly, with a wonderful, happy ending.
All of those things on your bucket list wouldn't necessarily have led you to do the World Cycle Race.
27 countries, 490 days. 18,000 miles on a bike.
You've decided that's it. You're going to keep giving yourself challenges.
Welcome to the Breathly Early Show. As you know, regular listeners to the show are familiar with our modus operandi here on the show, which is to bring you a different guest every week, somebody who is inspirational, motivational, and just plain interesting. Well, this week I am certain that I have ticked every single one of those boxes. I'm in rural Ireland. I'm in nearby Cavan. I've taken a little spin over from Leitrim today, and I'm in the little town of Black Lion, which is dominated by one business. And I say dominated in the nicest possible way. McNean House and Nevin Maguire. Nevin, welcome to the programme. It's an absolute pleasure to have
Lovely
you.
Lovely to meet you, Breathly. Thank you very much. Wow, that's a nice introduction. Thank you.
It's very fitting because I've just spent the last hour or so with your staff here in McNean House, kind of getting a look around, seeing some of the place. It's absolutely spectacular here. My family members have been here. I hadn't been here before, although I have been to one of your cookery demonstrations. It's a phenomenal little empire that you've built yourself here.
It's amazing, and it's down to a good team. Myself and my wife run the business. Her name is Imelda, and she's the real boss. And my mum and dad started. This is my home. I grew up here all my life. It's where I've worked, where I've always wanted to run my business. Never did I honestly think that it would be the success that it is. To have over 55 staff employed, it's fantastic. And I couldn't do it without them. It's not a one-man show. It's every single one of them. We treat them like family. I got my love of food from my mother, and that's what I really wanted to be, always a chef.
Let's go back to your early age, because I know it's well documented, the whole history of you started cooking, following your mother around the kitchen. You grew up in Black Lion, as you said. It's a border town, across the bridge into Belcoo in Fermanagh. Had its concerns, had its troubles, had its issues through the whole period of turbulence in the north of Ireland. What was it like growing up as a kid in a border town like Black Lion?
I'm from a family of nine, so we're a very close family, and I'm a twin. So David's his name, and all the family worked in the restaurant. Mum and Dad, I saw them struggle. I saw the business struggle, and I saw them work awfully hard, bless them both. They were amazing parents to us, and as I say, a very close family. I got my love of food, following around my mother, that's a good description. Making a mess in the kitchen, she would say, making flapjacks, shortbread, apple tart, that kind of thing. And she taught me a lot about food, about respecting people, hard work. We learned a lot from running a family business. We lived within the business, which was always hard. Always hard. And our business would have struggled. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, mum and dad, like, they bought the business in 1965. And then we closed from 1973 to 89 with the troubles. Our house was bombed twice, the whole front of it. Now, I was only a young lad. I can't really remember. But I do remember cooking for very few people, like 6, 7, 10, 15 people. Our numbers were really, really, really low compared to what they are now. There was 59 guards in the station. We were 2 minutes from the border. And with all the staff, like, we have a lot of staff from Fermanagh and surrounding areas too. But our business, I remember them bleak times. You know, we looked to move 3 or 4 times. I got the break in television, which was fantastic, an open house. And the rest is history.
Now, you say 2 minutes to the border. That's the slowest stroll imaginable. it's literally a stone's throw from the front of the building. I have memories. Some of my earliest memories would have been in my parents' car coming up to here just to see the border. Because for us, we lived reasonably close, but not quite close enough to see it. But our parents brought us to Belcoo, just across the border and back. And that was a scary, scary event in my early years with the policemen, the army, the guns. How did that make any difference in your world?
You know, that's an interesting point because we grew up with it, so it kind of wasn't very intimidating. It wasn't nice to see, to be honest with you. And now, thank God, you know, the police station in Belcoo is gone. There might be one or two guards in Black Lion. It's definitely got an awful lot better, which is fantastic. But, I hear stories of people going across the border and with the customs, the guards and the soldiers here in Black Lion. So you look out our restaurant and you'd see all of that, and people were nervous coming to the border. You know, the height of the troubles, you know, there was a lot of friction, a lot of unrest, and I think there was a lot of people nervous to come near here, to be honest with you. So that's why that wouldn't help their business at all, not at all. And people like from the south coming near the border up the north, they didn't want to, like in Enniskillen, they closed down the town, I think, after 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. Like Enniskillen is our local town, it's 15 minutes up the road, and it's where I went to college, and you know, it holds a special place in my heart. I love it, and I have some people employed from Enniskillen, but it's amazing the change of times. We're in a good place now. It was definitely very difficult for years, and I felt really sorry for my mum and dad. They struggled it, and you know, and that's why I never forget, Breffni, the bad times. And when I say that, cooking for so few people, a lot of my staff would never remember that. And I never ever take our business for granted, because it could change very quickly if you don't manage it and mind it and protect it and look after it and look after your customers. Like, people will travel from all over the country, to be honest with you. So we're really proud of that, we really are. And you know, I've seen great changes in food and within the restaurant. So mum and dad had I think maybe 4 bedrooms, then 9 bedrooms, now we've 19 bedrooms, and we're happy with that. We don't want to be a big hotel, we don't want to do more. We have 90 people for dinner tonight, so our business is very steady. It doesn't go up and down very obviously. The summer is obviously peak, it's very 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 busy, but during the winter it's really steady. So we're blessed, we're lucky. So we are.
I've seen you quoted as saying you don't want to run a chain of restaurants. You don't want to Jamie Oliver's and all this, you don't want that type of hassle in your life. You well, seem content.
Yeah, I admire them. I admire how they can. Well, I am content. I love my life and I love my job, and I want to enjoy what I have. I've been a big believer. It might be being a shrewd calf, a man doing things in small stages, doing our rooms, buying the building next door. We added on more rooms, done a lovely lounge area, myself, my wife, and invested in the business, and then opened up the cookery school 2 years ago. That was the best thing. That was, for me, the final piece of the jigsaw. What we're hoping to do maybe next year is to extend our kitchen and our restaurant a little bit. Not do more covers, but give more space for the tables, and that would be lovely. So that's our plan. And yeah, it's gone from strength to strength, but we don't do it all at once. We're cautious, we're careful, we plan it. We can't close. We do close for 2 weeks in January, but we can't close because we're too busy. We're booked up months and 2 years ahead nearly, the weekends, which is incredible. Like, we are in Black Lion, as you said. There's about 300 people living here, and I'm as proud of where I live. I just have grown up here. The people are fabulous here. And that's interesting, you know, when people come down from Dublin or Cork or wherever they're coming from, they always comment on how nice the people are here. So I'm proud of that, Sam.
How big a part does this area play in your life and in the whole Nangin house?
It's everything to me. I've grown up here, and you know, we have twins, and they're 4, Connor and Lucia. They're starting school now, so they are
next week.
Yeah, next week, exactly. And they're excited about it, so they are, and we're excited. I live 5 minutes from the restaurant, so I don't live within the business, but I'm not far from the business, which is important. My mum and she built the house just behind the restaurant. She and the family live there now. Some of them, my sister, family of 9, 1 brother in Australia. The rest are all in Ireland, which is wonderful. We meet up once a month, and because I lost my mother 3 years ago to cancer. She had lung cancer, and she was, as I say, a fantastic influence in my life. We miss her dearly, but we want to keep what we have here is something very special, and give the customer his king, and give them a really unique experience with great food, friendly, attentive service, lovely wine list, nice ambience, and I think it's a special experience, to be honest with you. So it would be my worst nightmare to have more than one. I think do one, give it everything and enjoy it, give it your heart and soul. A lot of chefs, one is never enough. I've had offers to go to Chelsea Football Club. First of all, I don't support Chelsea. If it was Man United, I might think of, no, I wouldn't. Go to London, go to Paris, go to Dublin. And I always said, no, I'm happy in Black Lion.
Coming from a rural part of Ireland as well, I've always endeavoured to promote it wherever I can, but I think what you've done here is absolutely fantastic. I want to go back again to your teenage years. And let's take actually your own story about how you came to work from there, the 10-year-old or younger, chasing your mother around the kitchen, to where you are now. Hoping my research is correct on this, but you left school at 16 to work in the kitchen.
I didn't do my leaving cert. I'd done my junior cert. I went to St. Clair's Comprehensive in Manor Hamilton, which is in Leitrim, of course. Yeah. My dad is from Leitrim, actually, Dara, just up the road from you. And I went there. I was the first boy in Manor Hamilton to do home economics. I got a lot of slagging. Loved to be with all the girls, but I'm afraid my sewing skills were terrible. I remember sewing or making a shirt, and it was that bad. Mum and Dad used to polish glasses. But anyway, so I stuck to the cooking. I knew cooking was for me. The teacher was excellent there. So after that, I obviously helped mum in the kitchen, but I went to college and I applied for Killybegs. And Killybegs is a wonderful college and I have a great relationship with them. But I went for the interview. No, I went, I'd done an a written exam, and they need to go for an interview. And I remember coming out of the interview and I felt so small. I felt really disheartened, and I said that didn't go well. It didn't make me feel that I really wanted to. All I've ever wanted to be was to be a chef. I have no regrets. I love my job. I love the variety I have, and I'm kind of lucky. We'll talk about that, you know, in a while. But for me, when I applied for Killybegs, I got the letter. I wasn't accepted. I was gutted. I remember that day. I was in my kitchen, and then we rang up from Anna College in Enniskillen, and a lovely woman, Marion Campbell. She was the head of the department in the catering. So I went in, met her. She said, "We'd love to have you." I said, "That's fantastic." So there's a kind of a moral when I'm telling the story. It's not to badmouth Killybegs, because it's a great college, but it's to say that there's a moral in the story. Fate for me was to go to Enniskillen. And for young people listening to your show, you know, we all take knocks in life and maybe we think it's not going to work. You follow your heart, you follow your dreams, and, you know, you never let anyone put you down. I think that's really, really important. I have a great relationship now at the college. We take on students. I do the Taste of Donegal. It's only up the road from me. So there's no hard feelings at all. At the time, I was disappointed. I'm not going to lie to you. But Enniskillen was great. And then I was there for 3 years as a student. And then after that, I went to work in Roscoff in Belfast. Paul Rankin, great chef, was the first in Northern Ireland to get a Michelin star, and done him and his wife done an awful lot of good for Irish food.
You have a pretty extensive list of Michelin star restaurant experience on your early career.
Yeah, well, that was the first one. And yeah. I remember briefly my jobs there. I'll tell you exactly what they were. My jobs were tempt the bins, prepare the vegetables, and saw the bones for stock and scrub the cooker tops. And all the chefs from college, now not the qualified full-time chefs there, from college used to go in at 9:30, finish at 4:00. I stayed on until 11, 11:30 at night. I never got paid. I worked there for 3 months. I wasn't about money. It was about I was lucky I got accommodation from a friend for free of charge. You got fed. But it was a real eye-opener for me. It was a very busy, intense restaurant. Opened my eyes to maybe a level of abuse I didn't like. I didn't like the way certain chefs spoke to certain people, and I don't think that's right. I don't think as chefs, who do we think we are that we can not be respect people, you know? And it's a high pressure job. I'm not making an excuse, but it's not the way I run my kitchen. So I learned a lot there about what I wanted out of working there. Like, I asked for a reference when I was leaving, and Paul Rankin, who I admire and is a great guy, he said, who the hell do you think you are? You're never going to make it as a chef. That was his exact words. So that kind of is another kind of like a story to just believe in yourself. I went then to work in Germany, in Berlin, and that was an amazing experience. 125 chefs in the kitchen, 7 different restaurants. The very first day I went in to East Berlin, the Grand Hotel, they opened up the meat fridge door and they had Irish beef and Irish lamb. Now, we're lucky, we're a small country in Ireland, but God, we're loved all over the world. And there's a great respect. The Germans love the Irish. So that was a great, and they love to speak English because my German, I could speak a tiny little bit. So I worked there for 3 months and then came back to Black Lion. So that was my pattern at my younger age. Go and work, come back, work with mom and then go back. So do your training, do your graft, work, come back. And that's the way it went. I worked in Dublin in Moyclare Manor for 2 months, and that was wonderful. But I never forgot the family business, but it was important for me to go and get experience. And that's what I say to a lot of my chefs. Go and travel and enjoy. It's there to be enjoyed.
At what point in your career, with all the going to get experience, come back to the family business, did you think, okay, I can make a success of what's here in Black Lion?
Well, it was a family restaurant, so I kind of knew that this is where I wanted to work and I suppose earn my graft, for the want of a better word. I never thought it'd be the success, to be honest with you. It's about getting people to know what you do, where you are. People are shocked how small Black Lion is. We're a destination restaurant. You know, there's no city near us. There is towns like Sligo and Enniskillen, Cavan, Carrick and Shannon, Drumshannon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're very much in the heart of the country. I knew that I really wanted to continue on from mum and dad. We've seen great changes in our decor, in our style, in the food. I'll give you an example. When I was cooking in the restaurant, I used to change the menu every single week.
Wow.
Yeah, every single week. And you can't
even
cook consistently.
Even just in terms of providers.
Yeah, you can't cook and say, but when you hear this, I used to cook kangaroo, ostrich, alligator. None of them are Irish. Well, there was a bit of Irish ostrich. I was the first, and people used to say, this wild guy in Cavan. So I got a bit of a reputation for that. And then for desserts, I won Dessert of the Year in Ireland, the Egan Rone, which was a big thing for me. It's done fun circuit now. It's all about local, seasonal, supporting Irish farmers. I can tell you every producer that comes in here, we have a relationship with them for a long time. Food is all about trust. It's all about traceability. And it's all about knowing where it comes from. That's so important.
It's crazy to think that you were cooking ostrich and kangaroo in Black Lion. Like, do you have a little farm? Did you butcher them yourself?
No, they came in ready and I just put them and I'd done a peppered kangaroo steak with maybe pui lentils or I remember doing an ostrich. And ostrich is a very lean meat, so is kangaroo. You can't do them well done because they will toughen up and dry out. So, but they're exotic meats. They're not Irish. They're not, we have the best lamb, the best beef, the best raw ingredients in the world. At our fingertips. So, I mean, I probably tried to be a little bit too different. I learned from that. But it was interesting. I enjoyed it.
But was that what initially helped open doors in television? Or
I think, good question. I'll tell you, my desserts definitely did. Because the very first programme I did was called Movable Feast, where that was a programme for RTÉ. I think it was on maybe for 2 or 3 years. They used to go around the country. John Daly is the gentleman's name. He's an RTÉ now at Ray Darcy. Lovely man. He came in to feud me. He wanted me to do a prawn cocktail. So I said, of course. Let me do one in a glass and let me do a modern, kind of like a deconstructed one. So I done both. And then I done a selection of the desserts. But it's a very small world in Ireland because one of the ladies working on the show, Regina Luby's her name, she now works in 2FM.
She's with Owen McDermott.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. She's an absolute diamond.
She's fantastic on air.
Yeah, she's brilliant fun. She is a real foodie, a great friend, and someone who I trust. I tell you, she's a great friend to me and always was good to me. So she moved on after that show to an afternoon show called Open House with Marty Whelan and Mary Kennedy. You're too young to remember.
I know, I'm not that young, unfortunately. I remember Live at 3 and Derek Thomas.
Everyone kind of gets mixed up with the two. There were afternoon shows, but very different presenters and kind of like they all have the same kind of format. So I was on that show for 6 years, every week. So that's where my real break in TV became. I remember going up to the Late Late studio on a Friday afternoon. I was the only one there, and a camera person and the producer, and I'd done a salad of spicy chicken. And I was doing an interview for the resident chef, they called it. So they called me up the next week to say, listen, the gig is yours, and the rest is history. I was on that live every week. I loved it. I suppose I didn't realise the first 2 years did it make an impact in the business, honestly, slightly, but after that it really, really. I remember going into a shop in Timoleague with my wife Imelda, and 4 people knew my name. I was saying, Imelda, they know my name. So that's when it really kind of really opened my eyes to the power of TV, people knowing you. Oh, this, young chef from Cavan. It's all about word and about getting your reputation out there and letting people know what you're doing.
It seems to be something that you're probably very familiar with now, people recognising you the minute you walk into a room.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I love people, and suppose I've done over 120 programmes for RTÉ, just finished my new series, which will start at the end of September. I never take that for granted. I'm very relaxed, like I'm talking to you, I'm just myself. I'm very passionate about life and about what I do and about food. You can never take it for granted, because the TV could just stop just like that. But I feel very privileged to be able to do that, to get people into cooking, into eating and enjoying good food. And that really is it. And every programme has to have a different concept, where this programme is all about the Basque country in Spain, and some of it is in France. But it's all about the wine and the Michelin star and then the pinchos and tapas. It's not all about fine dining. There's great stories in it. So it's a 7-part series, the end of September, I think the 29th, as far as I know. And I'm absolutely delighted about it, to be even asked to do it, but to showcase the great food, because I love that part of the world. I worked in a 3 Michelin star restaurant there called Arzac when I was training. That was 2009.
San Sebastian, right?
Yeah, San Sebastian, yeah. And it's wonderful people there. They had 27 chefs and only 8 of them got paid. The rest of them worked there a year for nothing. Amazing that dedication, because they were there to learn. They worked in all the sections. They got fed, but by God, they had to, don't know how they paid, or maybe they're on the dole, I don't know. But that was a real eye-opener for me. They were very kind to me.
What's your personal opinion on that, though? Like, do you have anyone here who's here for nothing?
Never, never. If anyone comes here, you might get one, maybe transition your students here for 3 days.
That's very different.
Yeah.
Someone who's here on an ongoing basis.
I get paid. personally, I think when you're at that level, the three Michelin star, people will travel all over the world. Maybe they want to improve, obviously, their cooking skills. They're probably not there to learn English because it's Spanish, they speak Spanish there. They come from Mexico and all over the world. It's not the way I would run my business. If I have people, even if they're here for the summer from college, they get paid. They get a fair wage. And it's something we really take pride. We look after our staff. We feed them well. We don't give them accommodation if they look after that themselves, but we feed them well and we give them. Their hours are not as bad. Like if you'd have asked me 5 years ago, the hours were tough now. They've definitely worked hard to provide, make our staff kind of more comfortable and happier within the work. Now it's a busy kitchen, don't get me wrong, but they work 4 long days and half a day, the 2.5 days off.
In terms of your own work level, both here in the cookery school, in the kitchen itself, and you seem to be on the road permanently with television and demonstrations all over the country. I know we met at Taste of Dublin a few weeks ago. You mentioned Taste of Donegal, Taste of Cavan.
Yeah.
There's one of these every couple of weeks you're appearing somewhere. How do you fit it all in?
This is a very busy time of the year. If I'm being honest with you, I have a great balance. And it's down to two people, my wife, Imelda, and there's a lady, we're in our office now, but she works here, Andrea Doherty. She's like my guardian angel. So she manages my diary. She makes sure I'm here 90% of the time. I don't want to not be here, you know. Mm. If I'm doing, like tomorrow I'm in Taste Donegal, like I'll shoot up in the morning, I'll be back here 4:30, 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. So I just love being here, but I love the variety. Remember I spoke about the variety. The television is really well done. It's all done in October and maybe parts of the end of January. And that's it really for the year, to be truthful with you.
So you do it in a block?
Yeah,
and it gets,
a block, that's yeah. It. Same with my cookbooks. My cookbooks are always done in March. So then they're going to print. I've my 13th cookbook out now at the end of... Or 13, beginning of.
I just finished my first one.
Well done.
Thank you very much. I'm scared of ever even considering doing it again. It's a huge process.
It is. And the first one's always the hardest. And you'll probably hold on to it and feel when you get it, you'll say it feels like a baby. And I know that's maybe a totally wrong thing to say, but it's your hard work. It's part of your life. It's such a proud thing and you should be really proud. Well done. I suppose my books have got easier to write because we've a very good team around us. We test the recipes in the cookery schools. It takes you about 3 months for us to do a book from start to finish. You do a synopsis, which means is you write down just one line of the dish, not the recipe, the dish. Then I have to go and write the recipes. That's the hardest part for me. Then we have to test them. And if they don't work, we have to test them again. So every recipe is tested in the cookery school next door. I have 4 chefs. And they're not always chefs, by the way, who test them. They do 10 recipes between us all a day, 10 food shops. So wow. It has to be tested. So it's a well-oiled machine. Gillan McMillan, I've done 7 books with them. They're a dream. They're brilliant. So they're really good Irish publishers. And every book has to have a different theme. Like Fast, the MacNean cookbook, the Baby and Toddler one, my best-selling book. This one is all about family food. And it's all about going back to basics. My biggest book I've ever wrote, 300 pages. So I'm excited about it. I think it'll be beautiful. And I think it could be my most successful book. Fingers crossed.
Cookery books seem to be the complete bomb at the moment. You walk into any bookshop and it's all, I won't name them, but there's models, there's athletes, there's, you know who I'm talking about. But they're on the top of every single bestseller list in the country. There's one relating to the time it takes to cook the meals. You know which ones I'm talking about. And fruit, they feature as well. We might as well give them all a mention.
Yeah, of course.
It's top of the bestseller list week in, week out. The same books for months. Why do you think the public have bought into that whole idea of cooking from
That's
home?
That's a really good... I think there's too many cookbooks. I think it's become quite saturated. Definitely, it seems that way in the shops and there is an awful lot of cookbooks, but definitely cookbook sales are down over the last year. They are, which is interesting. If you're not a kind of like a good seller of a cookbook, your publishers won't. Like I sell a lot of books, they sell a lot of books, I sell a lot of books in my demonstrations at different charity things, but there's huge competition out there and everyone is kind of different, has their own style. It's got to look good, it's got to taste good, it's got to work. If people buy your book and they make the rest of them and say, that was a disaster, they're not going to trust in you. They will never buy your book again. It only takes 1 or 2 recipes. That's why the most important thing for any cookbook, and I'm just speaking for my own, they've got to be tested. I'm privileged to write the books. I love it. I have a great team. I have a lady in Dublin, Orla Broderick. She's worked with all the chefs in the UK. She's worked on 12 of my books. She's fantastic. So I have a really, really good team around me. And it's all about the team. We come up with the concept. We come up with the recipes. And then we do the photography. So I feel what's happened, I honestly think, Breffni, is since the recession, food is such a big thing. In a way, people maybe had to diversify from their jobs. Food, for me, is the future of this country. We can provide a lot of employment, a lot of jobs, and a lot of good eating places and great produce. You've definitely seen it. You mentioned a couple of the food shows, like Tomorrow on the Taste of Donegal. There'll be loads of wonderful artists and producers. We're in a great time in Irish food. And people are food critics. They come to the restaurant, social media, they take a picture. It's very easy. And, I mean, as you said, models writing cookbooks. I think there's a market for it. I'm not going to say there's not. Chefs, and maybe the celebrity chef thing is maybe done to death, or maybe that's on its way out. I don't know. Some people say there is. But people just want inspiration. For me, I've always wanted to keep it as simple as possible, that people can follow my recipes, they can make it at home. It's never going to be like a Heston Blumenthal book or a Fat Duck book. I'll never be able, because I'm not that good. But just, I want to keep it that people can cook at home. My books are aimed at the home cook. Same with my cookery school, not at the chef, if you know what I mean. There's enough good colleges, there's enough chefy cookbooks. I just want people to enjoy food.
I think that's probably, for me, why I was drawn to your book, and I bought your book at Taste of Dublin, and I think I've tried one or two of the recipes. I'm pretty sure that I would have failed the taste test.
Don't be sorry yourself.
But give me a few weeks and a few months more in the kitchen and I'll probably be okay.
Good.
But in terms of the whole picture of your life here in Black Lion, you've kind of mentioned her numerous times through the whole episode here, is your wife, Imelda. And your face lights up every time you say her name or you hear her name. Your family is a massive part of your life.
Huge. I mean, like from the family of nine, five boys, four girls, they've all worked in the restaurant, so we're always close. I mean, I'd speak to them maybe a couple of times a week, and it's great when we meet together. Your family are your biggest critics. They look after you. And if to give you any criticism, it's with their heart, and they'll say it for a reason, and they'll give you good advice. I go to my family for a lot of good advice. Imelda's like part of my family. My sisters treat her like a sister. She's her mother-in-law, Eileen, and her father have just been so good to me. They live in Bow. So I shop local for food and shop local for love, and that's very important. Sorry, that's a bit corny. But it is true. Imelda has never worked in the restaurant industry, and that's a good thing. She has an amazing palate. She doesn't realise how good she is. So if you do a new dish, she'll taste it, she'll come in for dinner, and she'll give me honest feedback. And maybe sometimes you don't want to hear it, but it's honest. And that's a good thing too. Whenever I'm deciding on a book deal or a TV or maybe a sponsorship deal, I always run it. Nothing would ever, unless she's completely happy. Even if, as much as I want it, she'll think about it and just say, no, it's not right for you. And that's a good thing. That refreshing honesty. She manages where we are now in the office. She does the account. She does the wages. Huge important to pay 55 staff. Chefs are very good in the kitchen and cooking and managing a kitchen. But maybe some of them, and I'm speaking for myself, we might be the best business people. So we need that part. We need that help with that for running a business, to pay your bills, pay your suppliers, you know, pay your VAT. There's a lot of pressures, but it's great that we know every week how many people we are. You know, we don't get many walk-ins because we're so booked up, which is great. So we're very lucky that we know what we're doing nearly 2 weeks ahead, which is fantastic. Not many businesses can say that. So Imelda has bought an awful lot. For me, she's my best friend. She's my wife, obviously, and she's an amazing mother, and she's a great, she probably doesn't appreciate how good she is. I would definitely value her when it comes to taste. I think she's an amazing palate, and a very honest palate. I just recently started work with Dunn Stores as on their Simply Better. It's their collection, and they're using a lot of wonderful Irish producers. So I've started doing videos for them, and I got a load of their produce when they asked me, and I said, I'm going to bring this home and taste and cook it for my family. So I done a barbecue. I think I had maybe 8 or 10 family and aunts and uncles, and I didn't tell them it was from Dunn Stores. And I melded in all of them, and they said, wow, we can't believe this. And they're made, well, one thing I'm really, really proud about is the wonderful producers, as I spoke about. Some of the producers that the Simply Better collection are using, I'm using too. So like the Burren Smokehouse, you know, some of the yogurt makers, like, there's some brilliant people in Ireland. So that's a new chapter in my life, to do this kind of like recipes, endorsement. I'm kind of like a brand ambassador. I think they're really good. They're an Irish company. They're a big company. they work awfully hard. So I'm learning too at the same time. That's what I love about this business, Brefni. You never stop learning. My food, my cuisine is always evolving, changing. With Glenn, my head chef, he's been here 12 years. So he brings lots of new ideas to the menu. Same with the rest of my chefs. They have to feel that they're contributing something. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I think that's really important for their benefit, and to make them feel that they're definitely better than themselves. That's the word. So they'll often go away. Like Glenn has worked in Noma, he's worked in lots of different places, came back here, he's been very loyal to me, he's my best friend. And you know, chefs, loyalty, they're hard to come by. If you have a chef, a year's a lifetime now in the chef world. We have a lot of chefs down there. Glenn's 12 years, Carmel, my second chef, 10 years, and then some of my other chefs, 5 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's talk about your kids for
okay.
a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And let's specifically talk about, I suppose, Imelda is the celebrity mum of the year for last year.
Don't even mention that to her. Jesus, bless her.
Which I'm guessing from talking to you and hearing about her, she's probably more embarrassed about than proud of, although probably proud as well.
She's a very humble person, very shy person. She's been on the Late Late Show once, she's been on the Ray Darcy Show once, and bless her, like, she gets so nervous, she has to have 4 or 5 vodkas in her before she goes on, and maybe a port or something like that. She's not a big drinker, to be honest with you, but the nerves get the better of her. I'm used to TV, she's shy, but she's wonderful. She doesn't realise how good she is, and as much as I try and encourage her, she hates it. You know, she does not hate it. She gets very nervous. And she gets so nervous, she'd actually feel sick. So she would. So I kind of feel sorry for her. I never put her under pressure. I respect her. If she says she never wants to do anything, that's absolutely fine. Twins, Connor and Lucy, they're 4. Big week in our lives next week. Going to school Monday. Probably the best thing ever happened in my life, meeting Imelda, having the twins. Imelda was very ill after she had them. She had cardiomyopathy, which is a type of heart failure. I didn't realise how ill she was, if I'm being honest with you. And she's made a full recovery. I mean, she's a strong woman. And she was very ill for about 6 months. Had to take a lot of medication. Now she's fully better. Not a problem. No medication. They're very happy with her. And she's a great mother. But the twins, they couldn't be more different. Because I'm a twin, Brefni. I'm a twin brother. David, he's much better looking and slimmer than me, by the way. And he's not fit to boil an egg. Well, maybe he can boil an egg. But he's not great at the cooking. But we're very
even
close.
Even I can boil an egg.
Well, can you boil an egg?
I can.
Good. That's impressive.
Not sure I can boil it well. But I can definitely boil it.
Excuse me. David and me are very close, and to have twins and a boy and a girl, we're blessed. People ask, oh God, would you like more kids or more family? Because of Imelda's heart condition, we wouldn't risk it. We'd love it, of course, but no, I'm happy with the two. To spend time with them, and I've become a little bit selfish, and it's not in a bad way. Mondays and Tuesdays are our family day. Now, when they go to school, they'll be a little bit different. I'm going to take every second Sunday lunch off so I can spend time with them. They're just great. They bring so much happiness. I've never cooked at home as much, Brefni, to be honest with you. When I cook at home, it's so simple, you wouldn't believe it. It's honest, wholesome, fresh food. The twins do eat sweets, but not every day. We're quite, not strict, but they always eat good, wholesome, fresh food that we eat. And they've always seen that from day one. We've never cooked anything separate. You know, you talk about cooking separately.
Yeah, there's all chicken nuggets and chips. Or...
They like them, but they don't eat them very much. And if they do, I'd make them myself.
Okay.
To be honest with you, we call them chicken goujons. baked in the oven. But they're great little foodies. It's a joy to go out with them now for dinner. They're still as wild and as a March hare, but they're great fun. We love going away. And I suppose family time, because I know my diary from now to Christmas. I know exactly what days I'm working, what days I'm off. Things can tweak. And we're all busy in our lives and in our jobs. But to make time for your family, that's important. I go back to my parents and I saw them rare family do a business, and I saw them really struggle for their time. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want my twins like to say, well, you know, we've a great dad, but we don't really see him. That's not what I want. I make time to spend, you know, I take an hour off if I'm here, and I was here this morning. I was with them this morning. I won't see them this evening, obviously, because I'm doing service, but I'll see them tomorrow morning. So I see them every day. And obviously on Sunday or maybe Monday, we'll get more time. Do you know what I mean? So that's crucial. So they brought a lot of structure into my life, which is maybe a bit of a cliche or a wrong word to use, but you need that in your life. Because as you said, I'm relentless doing the TV, demos. I could be anywhere. Honestly, I was in Dublin yesterday, got up at 6:30, drove to Dublin, got back last night at 10, they were in bed when I got home, came in to meet customers, and that's the kind of life, but I'm used to it. Not many people could kind of cope with that. I love that variety. Tonight I'm in the kitchen, I'm in the cookery school for the chef's table, so I love that, so I do. I love meeting people.
The restaurant is going fantastically well. The TV goes from strength to strength. New book every year coming out. What else can we expect to see from you over the next 4 or 5 years?
Wow. I have to kind of sometimes pinch myself. And I think there's a time in your life when you have to enjoy what you have and appreciate what you have. As I said to you earlier on, I have no intention of opening up another restaurant, putting my name to it and never been there. I want to focus here in Black Lion. We have plans next year to redevelop our kitchen, extend our restaurant a little bit. So we're always reinvesting in the business. The cookery school is my baby. I love that. I love educating people. And people ask me, oh, do you have to be chefs to come to school? No, you have to enjoy cooking and just have a bit of fun. One of my favourite classes in the cookery school is cooking for parents and children. And it's a half-day class because the love of food starts at home. And that's one thing that I want to install in my children, that they enjoy food and that they enjoy cooking. Will they be chefs? 24 and a half, so I don't know. I'd love them, but as long as they enjoy food, I think that's so important, because that's where all my family got the love of food, to be honest with you. You know, some of them have no interest in going into this industry. It's a hard life, Breffni. It's a very rewarding life, but Monday and Tuesdays are our weekends. It's what I know. I have a 14 chefs in the kitchen. They're very young and they work very hard. So as I said to you, loyalty is hard to get, but when you get it, you look after it and you nurture that. So my plans is to continue on running the business, being in my kitchen, meeting my customers. The TV thing, I love. I enjoy it. And we're always looking for something different, as I say, something fresh. Next year, I'm probably going to take a year off from writing a book. I kind of made that decision mentally. I haven't told the publishers, by the way. I better tell them. And they may
this,
say,
this will be out next week. Yeah.
Okay. But no, they'll probably respect that. And it mightn't be a bad thing, because you can run out of recipes, genuinely. This new project or work with as an ambassador for Dunn's Door Simply Better, that's going to be busy for me. That's going to be interesting. I'm doing lots of videos online, going to meet the producers, doing videos in my cookery school about how to cook the perfect steak and different things like that. So I'm enjoying my work. They're a great team. There's only 4 or 5 of them in the team. And I'm enjoying what I've met from Simply Better, what I've eaten, the producers I've met. It's excellent. I'm very impressed. That's probably the biggest thing that I'm going to be doing over the next year, I would think so. It's a kind of like a 1 year deal initially, but they're great to deal with. They're very straight. They're very honest. They can be tough, but listen, they have to be. They have such a big operation, but I respect them. I really like them. And I bought them all down about 2 months ago into the cookery school for a night, the chef's table and the state. I wanted to show them what I did so that they got a feel. They know I'm on TV, but people think when I cook on TV, I serve in the restaurant. That couldn't be further from the truth, Briffney. We give people an amazing meal experience. We do a tasting menu, one with fish and meat, one with vegetarian. We want people to come and say, wow, I couldn't do that at home. And you couldn't, because we have 14 chefs. You could do one element of it, but it's to give the people the wow experience. And for me, people, customers are your biggest critics. They'll give you honest feedback, and that's important. If they don't like something, why? What can we do? So when we put a new dish on the menu, Breffni, we'll give it a night or two. And if customers are happy, it'll stay on. But if they're not happy, not as much as I love it, it won't stay on the menu. It's as simple as that. Your customers are king and they travel from all over. I'm telling you, we are so proud of that. We opened up our diary last September for 2 years. We've never done that. We used to do 6 months. It was always a nightmare. We got awful negative feedback on social media, Facebook. People couldn't get on the phones, they were ringing up for hours. We got really bad. So what we did last September, we opened it up. We had 6 people on the reservation lines for a full week. We took over 3,500 bookings in 1 week. Unbelievable. Where are we in Black Lion? 300 people. Incredible. So every weekend is booked up for the next 2 years, but 50% of them will cancel. So cancellations are a big part of our business. People think, oh, there's no point. We'll never get into his restaurant. You will. But maybe not in the night, but we get lots of cancellations every day. So managing that. So when you ask me about my business, food is only one part of the jigsaw. You have the reservations, which we have 3 people full-time here, 2 in the office. We have a financial controller who comes in and helps us with our business once every 2 weeks. And that he's wonderful and watches our costs. And then we have our staff and the food and the bedrooms, I suppose, are the big thing. But I suppose what I'm mostly proud of, Breffni, is that tonight now, so we've 19 rooms there full, but probably tonight I'd say we'll fill about another 15 to 20 rooms in the area. B&Bs. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a knock-on effect.
Yeah,
it's the families. Mm. It's the families who supply here. It's the families who work here. The whole area, not just. I spoke to one of your receptionists earlier. One of the girls behind the bar, from Swanland Bar, and she's from a neighbouring town. but she's employed here. And that's, I think, you must be so proud of that aspect of what you've done for this portion of Cavan.
I've always been proud of where I come from, and I'm very proud of the staff because they're very kind, and they're very kind to the customer, and they look after the customer. They're very genuine, and they have a good heart, and I keep coming back to the word loyalty, because my staff have been very loyal to me. They feel part of the success and part of your family, not just your staff. They give so much of their life here. So it's important that we respect that, myself and Imelda, which we do. We look after them. We bring them away. And we're good to our staff. We're proud of that. And that's why you hold on to them. If you don't look after your staff, why would they stay? Do you know what I mean? So that's lovely what you said. Like Ellen, like, she's been with me now for nearly 3 years, local lady, and she has huge potential. I love when I see someone that's local who has potential, and you nurture that. And she's worked in the kitchen, she worked in the cookery school, she's front of house now. That's great when they're, and she's not trained, by the way, or not qualified, excuse me, she's trained here. But that's great to see that for your staff, that they develop. I think that's really important.
In terms of someone like Ellen that you described, who's young, got potential, but more importantly got a love for the restaurant industry, how can they do what you've done? How can they emulate you? I know it's there's a whole load of different variables that came together, mm-hmm. maybe being in the right place at the right time, having the skills, having the interest, having the family background, all play, I suppose, a part in your success. But what things that are in their control can they do to be in that right place at the right time if it arises for them?
Well, I suppose it's to have a vision, and it's, you have to decide what you want in life, really what you want, It's a tough industry, this. It's a very competitive industry. And I'm lucky that my parents owned it first and then I took over. So I was very lucky to have the initial business. As I say, I didn't realise it would be such a success. And it's down to having a consistent product, to be honest with you. If we don't cook consistently every night, you wouldn't be long, your business going down this way. You know, to be honest with you, consistency is everything in life. Whether what you do in your shows, what I do, we want to give people a great food experience and make sure they've got in the car for 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever it is, that they say, wow, that's worth the journey. Because a lot of good places to eat now in Ireland, and there's a lot of brilliant chefs, a lot of wonderful people within the food industry. Someone like Ellen, I'd say, she's young, and I would, hopefully she'll stay with me as long as she wants to. She went travelling. She took 6 months out this year, so she's got kind of the travelling bug out of her way. But the travel is important for anyone young, and maybe they'll come back. You see, you wouldn't have dreamt of opening a restaurant in the recession. And for me, the recession was one good thing that happened in the country in a funny way. And I'll tell you why a funny way. It got more people cooking at home. It got more people, when they go out for a meal experience, or for a meal, like, they weren't going out as often. So when they came here, it really had to be something special, anniversary, birthday, something like that. And, they mightn't have travelled as much. Some people were really badly affected from the whole recession. And I think it's food that's really helped the country. I think food is the future, as I said. It's a great time to be in food, and with the amount of cookery shows, but even the amount of opportunities now for people making wonderful stuff, like these food shows that we talk about, putting their products into some of the supermarkets. People want to support Irish, and they want to buy Irish, and they want to support Irish businesses. And there are so many great young Irish chefs now that have maybe gone away to work in London or America or wherever, and are coming back home. So that's one good thing. And after the recession, or during the recession, the bad restaurants which were overcharging and weren't given the quality, they're gone. They wouldn't survive now. People aren't stupid. It's simple as that. They were just ripping people off. So that's a good thing. So the good ones survived.
But people bought into that. During the noughties, people wanted to be in these restaurants.
Yeah. And they wanted to be seen, and they wanted, it was like coolest decor or whatever like that. And maybe the food wasn't maybe up to scratch. Maybe it was. Maybe it was a bit inconsistent. But, I suppose you go back to a city like Dublin, who is so vibrant now. There's a restaurant opening up every couple of weeks now. Huge competition. I would honestly hate to be in Dublin now, truthfully. I love the city. I love it. I have a lot of friends within the restaurant industry. But the competition, Refni, honestly, it is unbelievable. I wouldn't say it's cutthroat, but it's very competitive. And there are so many good places now. Dublin's a vibrant city. It really is. You could put it up there with any city now in the world that I visited. I think it's never been a better time. You look at room rates, for example. It's gone through the roof.
It's crazy, yeah.
Oh, it's crazy, Mac. You just cannot get a room in Dublin. and they're totally overpriced, a lot of them, to be honest with you. So, like, I'm in Dublin every week. We would stay there, myself and Melda, the twins, if they're coming up. And, you know, I just think it's a great, great, great city. But down the country, it's taken, I think, a little bit longer for the Celtic Tiger, I hope we're not coming back to that, but for people to feel that we're getting out of the recession. This village has struggled, I'm telling you, because of the troubles and the recession. You look at the amount of empty buildings here, Breffni. We had a great shops closed, a filling station closed. Only for our business here, you could put a gate either side of that line. And that's not being condescending or being dismissive or not respecting where we live. It's a fact. And people, I'm proud that we have the business and that people will travel. I really am proud of that. It's a beautiful part of the world. And like where you live in Leitrim
Village,
anymore, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's fantastic. And people say that, sorry to interrupt you, when they come here, that they say, wow, they can't get over the beauty because it is fantastic. We don't get tourists. We genuinely don't get many tourists. My television shows are on PBS, excuse me, in America, and we would get a handful of Americans. It's nearly 99% Irish people that we get here.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And like we call where we're from the best kept secret in the country, and we're kind of okay to keep that the way it is. We're happy with the tourists we get; they keep us sustained and they keep the economy going. But we're not overcrowded with them either. We always end the show with the same question. Now, I'm guessing you haven't listened to the show before.
No.
So you don't know what the question is, which is always a good thing.
Okay.
The question is, if someone's listening to this show, what can they do to help you? If you had one question to ask them, or one ask, if somebody listened to the show, what would you ask them to do?
What would I ask them to do?
Ask them to do.
Wow, that's a very interesting question. Okay, I'd ask them to cook me a meal with love. And to cook something that you enjoy to eat. And you see, if I go to your house, Breffni, and you make me a ham sandwich, I'm absolutely delighted. Because you've made it, you've made effort. People think I'm a real food snob when I go out for dinner. I'm not. I love even getting a cup of tea or something like that, or a slice of soda bread, something like that. So I'd ask somebody to cook something that means something to them. Maybe a family recipe or something like that, that they've learned from their granny or their mother or something. Because I think those kind of recipes are fabulous. They mightn't have to weigh out something, maybe their best brown bread, something like that. So for me, it would have to be about food. So I'd ask somebody to cook something that they really like to eat, and let's have fun.
My favourite answers to that question are always when it doesn't actually benefit you, which is quite nice. I like that. And I also maybe throw in, check for cancellations in my email house as well. Nevin Maguire, it's been an absolute pleasure to come over to Black Lion to spend a few hours in your company.
And thank you.
To get to see the place over here. It won't be my last time here. I'm looking forward to coming over as a guest.
Well, we welcome you and good luck with your book.
Thank
you
very much.
That's fantastic for you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. It's been a long process.
Oh,
but
congratulations.
But delighted to kind of have it out there and share my baby with the rest of the world.
That's great.
But no, it's been a pleasure spending a few hours with you. Thank you very much for hosting me and for inviting me over. We'll hear more from you and from my
house
in the future.
Lovely to meet you. Thanks, Breffni.